ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday. Hey, for the first time in a week, I got the day right.
Got it
good,
right.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. KSIW up in Woodward, KADS down here in Elk City. PSA, just to start the show.
What we got?
If you're going to be outside, drink water.
Yeah.
Heat indexes upwards of the 110s in the heat of the afternoon. So if you're going to be outside, drink plenty of water, sunscreen, take some rests, get in some shade.
Yeah, take breaks.
Be free. Feel free. I mean, I know I'm not your boss, but feel free to take some breaks. Get you some water down you.
Watch those kiddos.
It's dangerous. Dangerous situation for a few hours this afternoon for sure.
The kids never drink enough. Make sure they're hydrated.
They're
I know it's summer
playing.
Break. They're outside playing. You know, they're playing baseball, t-ball, softball.
Yeah, thank goodness for my sake that this isn't Saturday afternoon.
Well, me too.
Oh. Are you still playing too?
We got his tournament, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? We figured that out last night. We were kind of discussing who all was playing this weekend. I know the group older than you, than Katie, they played last week.
Correct.
But then the yes. coach pitchers, the T-ballers played last week, and like the Pee-wees or yeah, whatever, the 10-year.
I think it was 10-year.
Yeah, Pee-wees.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just call them what it is. It's Pee-wees. Anyway.
That'll get you canceled nowadays.
That's probably, you know what, and especially because I think the midgets and the coach pitch play this week. That'll do
that'll
her.
That'll really get you
that'll
canceled.
Do her.
Can't say that. Come
and then,
on.
Of course, the thugs get mad at the preps. I mean, we've all been there, right? All right, so you, yeah, that's what we figured out on the softball
yeah,
side.
Yeah, we'll be there.
You will be playing coach pitch and then the 12U.
Right.
I guess we've got to call it the 12U.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little shout out, by the way. Speaking of the text line, which is 225-9698. Dakota, did you see any pictures of his cute little daughter?
No.
Playing the t-ball. I guess it actually is. Youngster. I think she was a little bit younger than some of her teammates, but they
How
cool.
How old?
I think she was 3.
Oh wow. Mine was 4 first year. And she was considerably younger, I think, compared to the others. But that's cool. Let me go to the text line.
Very cool.
I was not prepared.
Did you end up having to play the juggernaut that was the Sayre team that won it all?
Yes. Yes.
They came back. They won 5 games on Sunday.
Yeah, we were one of their victims, yes.
Weren't they?
Yes.
The first loss of the season happened in the tournament for that team. And they came back won. Yeah, and they won 5 straight on Sunday.
Well, that's great.
Wonder if there's a.
I mean, not great that they lost, but great that they came back.
Wonder if there's a softball, t-ball, state tournament. Do you think there is?
I think there is because when Katie was in t-ball, we finished 2nd in the league, and on the trophies it said state qualifier, but we just chose not to go.
Yeah, I know. When Wyatt and his team's last year of t-ball was the first year there was a baseball t-ball state tournament.
Okay,
guess where that was.
Salisaw.
Hit the nail on the head. Yep. Boy, wasn't that a fun trip.
You went.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I
don't
know.
I saw one of the most amazing things on a baseball field that I had ever seen. What are those kids, 6 years old? Some 7, maybe?
Oh, no. T-ball?
Yeah. Can't they be up to 6U?
I believe it's 6 and younger.
But you can be 7 if you turn it after the 31st.
Yeah, you know, I was going over that with my wife about
it's
where
December
the cutoff
31st.
Was. Okay.
I'm nearly positive.
Yeah.
December 31st. So as long as you're 6 past the 31st, then that summer you can turn 7, which is the way that a bunch of those kids on Wyatt's team were. Anyhow.
What did you see?
So we get there, and I mean, listen, we're thinking our guys are pretty good. I mean, they can field it.
Yeah.
Throw it across the – I mean, like, make a play from the shortstop at T-ball, that's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely it is. And catch it.
Catch it.
Not only throw it, but catch it.
Yeah, all of it. So we get there, play a Salisal team, and just blow their doors off.
Okay.
And then we play a team from Latta, and it's a great game that they win like a walk-off hit in the last inning.
Okay.
Thinking, man, okay, listen, we can beat that team. We were right there, you know, a couple of here plays here and there. They actually turned a triple play on us.
What?
On a line drive to third base where they just stepped on third, caught it, stepped on third, threw it to second. Anyhow, I mean, it's just one of those deals. Instead of two runs and a guy on second, it's three outs and we're done.
Wow.
Hitting. Anyhow. And then we saw Latta play right after. The Stigler Bullets. The Stigler Bullets were so well-versed in how to play baseball that when one of the kids from Latta would kind of turn their body to hit it a certain way,
yeah,
the whole field moved.
They knew it.
Without being told.
Yeah.
We were sitting there down like the first baseline, and it happened a couple of times in the first inning, and they just got them out. Boom, boom. I mean, they were hitting shots, and they were just right there it, where they're supposed to be to catch it. Then umpire walked over the fence, and he was like, you guys need to see what happened. I said, dude, the whole field shifted. He goes, yeah, and you know what? They didn't have to be told. I was like, that's true. Because their coach had this booming, I mean,
yeah,
made me jealous, booming voice. And it was awesome, and they just dominated
the T-ball.
Now, I will say, last summer in the coach pitch tournament, they didn't win. The team from Shawnee beat them in the finals after the team from Shawnee beat the Eagles in the semifinals. Anyhow, that was just awesome. But, yeah, a trip to Salisal. You know what's pretty nice if you like humidity? Salisal in July.
I imagine. You get further east.
Probably feel a bunch like it is today outside.
Yeah.
All right, on the show today, we'll try to get to Aaron Rodgers. Not making any promises, because I think we got plenty to talk about. So maybe some Aaron Rodgers.
By the time we get to him, he might actually make camp, or might.
Yeah, he ain't coming.
Or he's in a different jersey.
He ain't coming. So Aaron Rodgers, maybe at the end of the show. Did you? ESPN puts out these future rankings a lot of times in college football. They've been going through a series of them this week and culminated today with the team ranking. So it's basically, it's ESPN's three-year future rankings. And there's also a link to last year's as far as the team goes that I wrote down. So kind of look at some differences between last year and this year with some teams in the top 10 and the Big 12. And then for this year, which one of those, I mean, because it's different. It's not like it just like follows the recruiting rankings. Now, what happened last year did make a difference to this year, some good, some bad for some teams. And, of course, the top's pretty consistent with the same teams that have been making the playoff. But look at last year to this year, what happened, and then who could either move up or maybe slide down, depending on the season they have coming up. Game two of the softball, recap that last night with the Sooners forcing game three, a 6-2 comeback win after falling behind 2-0 at the end of the first inning. We'll talk about that game, talk about today, all the different things that go along with that, and maybe hit some NBA playoffs as well, with Phoenix looking every bit the part of a team that might make the NBA Finals for the first time since Charles Barkley was roaming the court. And did you see last night on the pregame show, with speaking to Charles?
No.
Safe to say Charles doesn't like snakes. You'll have to find that video as they were exiting stage left. Pretty wild, and it was a lot of fun, and I think a lot of people on TV wouldn't have allowed what happened to happen.
Yeah,
and Barkley doesn't take himself too serious, so I thought it was really cool. If you can find that video, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. If you got something else completely on your mind, feel free to chime in there as well at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with us online. One of those is kadsam.com. Just click the Listen Live tab, play button on the next screen, and boom, there we are, live streaming. Or you can download the app. It's Paragon Communications is the app. It's free download for your listening pleasure. You can also hear us, KECO Cool 94, at least down here in Elk City, on those radio stations. The Penny News is in the app. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website Wednesday morning, thepennynews.com. All the paper editions of the Penny News, the print copies, are out at basically every newsstand around from I-35 out to Amarillo, Texas. So check out the deals in this week's Penny News. Pick up a free copy of that Penny News. Then also we've got our Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show, you can find it three different locales. KADSAM.com. You can find it on iTunes, or you can find it on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Jared Atha, not surprised at your attire this morning.
Yeah, I'm rooting him on. I'm a little disappointed, though.
Jared's got his OU garb on.
Of course.
For the softball game later. Why are you disappointed?
I got a phone call last night.
Oh, no.
About 10 o'clock. And a buddy of mine, old high school buddy from way back, still keep in contact, one of my best friends. This is why he's one of my best friends. He said, hey, got an extra ticket.
Oh, no.
Got it for face value, too. I said, come on.
What? I have a question.
Yeah.
What is face value to that?
Not as much. After surcharge and everything, still under $50.
See, I was wondering if it wasn't right around that figure.
Because his brother is basically the first assistant head coach at UCO.
Oh.
A lot of connections there. I guess what he told me was UCO allowed the University of Alabama's team to practice on their field.
Yeah, I saw that earlier in the season.
And they said, hey, here's some tickets. Here's some tickets for you. Here's some tickets. And now Alabama's out, and they're like, well. So, ew. And so then I was, I wish I could, bud, but that's going to be really hard for me to break away to get there by 2 o'clock. If it was a 6 o'clock or 6:30, absolutely. Anyways, I'm disappointed. But I am happy with the result yesterday. I think we all are in this state.
Yeah, and you know, it's, I wouldn't quite go that far. But
I think some aren't.
Yes, I do, actually. It was weird because everything that we kind of thought needed to happen didn't.
Yeah.
OU gets the first two on, first and second, nobody out, and then...
Well, there. I thought...
Well, that's...
I thought here comes the aggressiveness, yeah. You know, they're going to come out swinging and...
A double play and one more out on that call at first.
A little bit of controversy.
You know, once again, they might have... After what we've seen throughout the week, they might even have a replay set up today. There's Patty Gasso talking about how they deserve it, and I don't disagree. How hard is it? Everybody else does it.
They were replaying it. In the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, to look up. Oh, never mind. She's safe. And move on down life's path. Anyhow, but it's not there. OU blows a chance in the top of the first to jump out like we all kind of thought they needed to. And then in the bottom of the first,
there it was.
Two run home run by Mason. And all of a sudden, it's 2-0. And you think, here was that the chance to turn this series on its head?
And by the way, right before that, some thought that the runner on first should have been out because she left the base path
a little bit early.
Yeah, but yeah, again, 2-0, and here we go. That's what Florida State does. They like to start off,
you know,
hot early.
It's amazing to me, and I didn't realize this necessarily exactly the numbers. They don't have anybody hitting 300, and you look at OU, they don't have anybody not hitting 400 almost. And you know, 2-0, then Johns hits the home run, and then of course, what was it, top of fifth? Top of the fifth or sixth?
Six.
Top of the sixth, I think.
I think it was.
Yeah, when OU broke the floodgates opened.
Like four runs, yeah.
But the home run from Allo, which broke the record, 159th home run as a team this season, passing Hawaii. I thought pretty cool tweet from Hawaii softball. If you know somebody had to do it, thankfully it was from the 808.
Yeah.
And, OU made a little finger sign back to them with their Twitter accounts and whatnot, but. The one thing I guess you could take away from this is
the
one
finger sign, the
little
the aloha
aloha
sign,
thing, whatever it is.
Yeah, not the other finger sign.
No, listen, everybody knows the Hawaiian.
I mean, you did that. You got to remember, people can't see.
Oh, we don't have a video like everybody else. That's right. They're probably not even capable.
Shh.
Yeah, you're right. We don't want one though. I have to keep my hand over it. But I think two things are starting to be evident here. No matter what you want to happen or think should happen or could happen or whatever, the Sooners are going to get off to a slow start offensively in this series. And if you don't get to G. Juarez early, which Florida State did, but once she gets rolling, she's rolling. And it's amazing when you watch this team throughout the season and especially in this tournament. You know, we kind of hear that word spurtability in basketball where teams can just go on 10-0, 12-0 runs. Oklahoma on the softball field really has that capability. Once she gets comfortable in the circle, you know, putting up zeros, and then all of a sudden, bam, OU scoring four runs. Bam, there's five runs in it. You know what I'm saying? And so that's something that it's just an amazing knack. And I think – I wonder – you know, Allo after the game said that Patty Gasso, we saw the video of him taking her back. And in her interview, you could tell she was really, really perturbed with her team, especially at the plate. We're better than this, you know. And then right after that, when they got the Seminoles out in the fourth, took him, you know, talked, you know, and Allo talked about how it was calming. Hey, you guys can do it. I don't believe that for a second. I think she was mad enough to where it was. You know, lay down the law. It is time for us to do what we know we can do. And then there it was.
Yeah, yeah. I think what we saw was in yesterday the discussion of Gasso was, you know, her decision to leave May in so long and whatnot. And I was having this discussion last night with my buddy who called me about, I think Gasso truly believes if this is extended to a three-game series, she can win it. And so taking last night was so vital. And when it got late in the game and it was still 2-0, 2-1, and she lit the fire, I think the worst thing for Florida State is that this has extended to three games. And now OU has seen how many of their pitchers? How many they run through last night? Three?
I think three. And then Wilson didn't pitch, but she pitched the first game, right?
Right, yeah. So my point is now, because we talk about that slow start, and usually it takes them a full round through their lineup, almost a lineup and a half before their bats start to wake up. I think that does not bode well for Florida State today. I might be a little biased, admittedly, but because of the way these bats can just suddenly wake up for OU and how smart these players are and how good these coaches are too, because they've taken notes and like, look for this here, look for that there, look at this on this pitch, and they relay this and you'll start to see it. I mean, it was bold by Gasso to basically concede game one the way she did.
Yeah, I don't know that that's I mean, I think once she got behind 4-0, maybe you could say that, but you know, choosing May wasn't a concession. I mean, she
not choosing her, but leaving her in.
Yeah, and especially to get to 7-0.
Exactly.
From 4-0.
But
here's
in,
the thing, though. Even when it's 4-0, I don't think she's conceding anything, because 4-0, with the way that the Sooners have hit all season long, that's not insurmountable by any stretch.
Sure.
And it just so happened that, okay, well, they got three more. You know, I think in her mind, still had trust. Hey, get out of this. It's just 4-0. It's just the third inning. We got plenty of more time to catch up, which the Sooners did score four runs. You know, when you look back at it, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. We've talked a ton about, okay, you can pitch as long as you want to, throwing underhanded. While that's true, I think that, and we saw it with Odyssey Alexander against the Sooners in the circle. And now we'll have a chance to see if this is true today. And then on the other side, obviously, Gasso didn't worry about Juarez in the first game, knowing she's going to come back with her in game two. And then we'll talk about what's going to happen today. But as much as fatigue isn't necessarily a factor, which I think it kind of is, but not nearly like it is, say, for baseball, obviously, because the rules are completely different on what you're able to do and not. But I think as much as that, it's familiarity, seeing somebody over and over. And so, you know, the pitches can still be coming exactly the same mile an hour, exactly the same movement, exactly the same everything for three straight games, but you get used to seeing it. And I think that's the one thing that we definitely saw with James Madison, is by the time, you know, halfway through the third game between those two, the Sooners were locked in and hitting line drive after line drive, if not out of the park.
And this is what worries if you're Florida State.
Yeah, but see,
but
they haven't. I mean, they've seen both teams are in similar situations. They've seen the quote unquote ace for seven innings, and they've seen everybody else for a little bit. So now, if you're either one of these coaches, I mean, in my mind, you have to go. This has to be Wilson versus Juarez to start, right? Or do you try to sneak a couple of innings of somebody else so that by the time it gets to the end of the game, there's not as many at-bats on that day with that pitcher in the circle.
Yeah, that's the question of the day. Does Gasol go with, say, Sale today to start? OU's bats come alive to get up 4-0, then she puts in Juarez to shut him down. Or does she go with G to keep him shut down? I mean, it's a great question. But then there's the familiarity aspect of it. You're throwing a girl out there that Florida State just saw for 7 innings. So that's a great question. What would you do?
Oh, without a doubt, G. Juarez is starting. Has to. You know how dumb you'd look if you get beat 2-1 because somebody else gave up a 2-run shot in the first inning and then she came
in
and shut him out for 6? You know how dumb that would be? Yeah. Now I'll also understand on the back end of it too, but that's a decision you can make as it plays out. And, you know, with the way that Juarez has kind of, if you get her, it's early. Even then, say you're up 3-1. There's no guarantee that in her first inning she's going to be able to hold that lead to get on that roll that she's been able to get on. So I guess in my mind, if they're going to get to her early, at least that gives you the time to catch up,
right,
and then let her get going. It feels like to me that there really isn't any decision on the OU side of things. She's clearly been the best pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is she now throwing? Let's see, it's 24 1/3. And giving up 3 earned runs, that's less than 1 a game. I can do the math. You know what I'm saying?
It's not hard math.
Yeah, it's 1 out of every 8 innings she gives up. But, you know, it's going to
be. The 24 thing I couldn't think of.
But. It's going to be everybody, possibly at one time or the other, depending on the matchups or, you know, how much it looks like one team is getting familiar with the other. And we could see multiple pitchers on both sides.
I mean, and we probably will. From one side or the other, depending on the score. But what if it's, you know, OU jumps out 4th inning, they're up 6-0. Do you leave Juarez in?
Hell yes, you leave her in.
Yeah. Yeah. Or do you switch it up?
No.
I'm just throwing possibilities out there.
I mean, if it's 6-0, you got time before the floodgates open to cut something off if, you know, Florida State gets going. And it's the same way on the other side. I mean, it really is. It's so similar. The way that this has gone, you know, Sandercock threw a few more innings, say, than May did. Effective ones is for sure than May did. But by the time, you know, different ones started coming in for both sides, kind of seen everybody. But if it's me, it's Juarez versus Wilson, and we see what happens to get going.
What do you think will happen?
I think it's going to be fun. I'm as much as I said fatigue doesn't matter, I wonder, man, 110 – heat index, when this thing gets going throughout the entirety of the game, how much does that play in to the decisions that are going to have to be made as far as the pitching?
Yeah.
How much will that actually start to fatigue some of these gals as the game goes on?
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't say, well, Oklahoma's used to the heat. Have you been to Tallahassee?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's true, but it's just – With all the emotion and all the
yeah, and they play the adrenaline equal amount of games.
That's right. And how about this? First time in the history of the tournament,
isn't that crazy?
Every single game that was possible will get played.
That's crazy.
Both if games in the run up to the series, and now the if game in the series.
Oklahoma City's looking like Mr. Moneybags right now. I mean, look, we kept the people here that long spending money. Win for them.
The only problem is you can't get them in there for 4 more hours or 5 more hours for this to be a night start.
They're hoping for a rain delay right now. You know, that's not happening.
That's the last thing to discuss, I guess, is the TV, is the fact that it's starting at 2 o'clock. You know, I get the idea for it to be on the big ESPN and not one of the others.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being, you know, there's just more people that watch ESPN. More people get ESPN than ESPN2. I mean, a lot of it's a bundle now, but it is the main ESPN network. It's where every game basically
has been.
It's
where everybody starts to go. When they're looking
right.
for a big game, that's
ESPN.
Where they start.
And so it really kind of sucks, though, that it's on at 2 o'clock because maybe it's just because we're here with the team in it and really two teams in the College World Series. But it does feel like the momentum is seriously building for softball right now. And it's kind of a shame that it can't be a prime time night slot for the title there in Oklahoma City.
I'm anxious to see, and it probably won't be very telling, but it'd be something to throw in someone's face, what the ratings tonight would be for the NBA game that's going to be played compared to last night's.
Funny you ask that, because I have Tuesdays. Game one.
Okay.
Game one of the series, which didn't have much drama.
Right.
Because it was such a blowout early. But on Tuesday in game one, the softball got $1.87 million, which was more than halfway to the NBA numbers. They were like 3-2.
Okay.
To 3-6. So it was about half or more than half of the two NBA playoff games that night.
Okay.
Both on cable television with TNT and ESPN. So it's not, you know, there wasn't an advantage for either side there.
Makes you wonder if it was a close game, what it would look like.
Well,
a lot of people turned it off.
But that number is crazy. That's an enormous number for
sure
the softball
is.
when you look back.
Yeah.
But that's why it kind of stinks, though, that you're not able to fully judge that. Get you a game three final game at night against – you wish it was on TNT. That way then you could get a pretty good snapshot of what's going on. But it does feel like the momentum has built for this softball. And, man, it's going to be
give me a score.
Oh, gosh. I think there's going to be a bunch of runs.
Me too.
Both sides.
Not me.
I think there's going to be – I'm going to go – how about like 9-7 OU?
13-2 OU.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you not get the significance of that?
I get it, Jared. But here's the deal.
I don't truly believe it.
Roy Williams ain't walking through that door. Torrance Marshall. Wouldn't it be great if Torrance Marshall flipped the coin?
That'd be cool. Or if Denzel Washington was there. So.
Won't they flip the coin for who's home and away?
You know what? I don't know.
It's got to be Torrance, right? He still stole my boy's Heisman. Oh, man. Sad news to report from the text line.
What's up?
Torrance Marshall cannot be involved.
Oh.
No coin flip. Nah. They said last night OU be home team. That has to be a seeding thing then.
I think so. Weren't they home team on?
They were home team the first game.
Right.
Florida State was home team yesterday. So that's got to just be a seeding going into the tournament tribunal.
Yep.
Well, darn. That'd have been a lot more fun my way.
Oh,
don't you love it with cold water just thrown on ideas before they ever really get traction?
Well, one could hope. One can dream.
Still doesn't mean Torrance can't be there.
Yeah.
A lot of 2 o'clock.
A lot of alum are there. 2 o'clock.
Man. 2 o'clock.
What are we going to do?
Well, I'm going to do a whole bunch of work until 2 o'clock.
I wasn't going to say that on air, but.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get all my stuff done before 2 o'clock. Then I'm going to set back with probably a dip in and analyze Patty Gasso's every decision and just make notes so that we can blast her tomorrow if they lose. No, I'm totally kidding. Sit back and watch and have fun. Now, let me ask you this. I was thinking about, because your attitude and your demeanor is a lot more peppy today than it was yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes. I think you were still kind of had the game one loss blues in here yesterday morning. Now you're on a little bit of a high of a win. So here's the question. Let's say that both of us got to go with that ticket we both snuck in.
Okay.
On one ticket.
Okay.
How miserable would it be riding back with you if OU loses this afternoon?
Oh, no. Come on, man.
What about?
I'm not in my 20s anymore.
Are you sure?
Yes.
What if it was, say, the Big 12 title game in Dallas riding back with you for football? Would that be
after a loss?
After a loss. Would that be more miserable than today?
I mean, losing a national title game compared to losing a Big 12 title game, one sport comparing to another. Hey, listen, every loss stings, but I've learned to, smile that it – what's the phrase? Smile that it happened?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I know
it's like, smile that they got there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, be happy that they got there. I've learned to, it sucks they lost, but they got there. Here's a good example. Okay, my Canute Trojans, they went to state, lost in the first round. It stung. But on the drive home, I had time to reflect. Hey, they got the state. Not the outcome you wanted, but they got there. Because
there are groups of people that aren't any fun after losses.
Oh, I know. And I was one of them.
Like, for instance, in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. If you lose an OU-Texas game.
Yeah, see, it doesn't bother me. It's still fun.
Yeah.
but there was...
Don't kid yourself.
With the group we went with, there was a couple that wouldn't be near as much fun Saturday night as they were Friday night.
There were... I was like
probably
that.
For multiple reasons, if we're being honest.
I was like that, but I'm, you know, having kids really puts a lot of stuff in perspective. Really does. There's bigger things. You know, this is games. This is fun. It's not, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. There's other life events that make you realize it's just a game. It's sports. It's fun. Would it sting if they lose? You bet. But, you know, there's a lot of other teams that like to be playing today.
That's exactly right. So whole bunch of them.
And it's just fun to talk about, man. It's just fun to, I mean, last night was fun. I mean, you know, Tuesday night was not fun. Sure. But it didn't derail the rest of my day. The sun came up the next day.
So, like, on Tuesday night, did you make the girls go to bed early because OU lost?
No.
Get in bed, girls.
No, this is what I do.
You got to get rested up to cheer harder.
When something I can tell is going to affect me, I kind of, like, I was sitting down watching the game. And then when they got down 7-0, and I'll admit this live on air, I turned at the triple D.
Now that's what I'm talking about. It's a better show anyway.
Let's look at food here.
You got people not making anything, and you got another guy making $80 million for 3 years. You got to go with guy.
And then I was kind of switching it back and forth. What are we
now? Let me ask you this.
Are we scoring around?
Let me ask you this. As you checked back and saw the 7-2, did you immediately turn it back to triple D and go, never mind, can't watch, catching up? Because I did that as a kid for sure.
Well, oh, yeah, I know shock.
They're scoring without me watching. I cannot watch.
Like a jinx thing. Like, yes. Yeah, you don't want to jinx it. Yeah. Well, last night, you know, I was telling you off air, I was at a after or end of season T-ball party when the game started. I was listening to it, okay, had it in my ear, and then it was quickly 2-0. What did I do, Aaron?
Turned it off.
I pulled that thing out of my ear. I said, nope. And then 2-1. And then get to the batting barn for another practice, and I have it on my phone. Boom, Allo goes yard. Well, maybe I should just watch the rest game on my phone. By the time I actually got home, turned it on in the garage, the onslaught had started, and I watched the rest there. But I'm with you, man. The OU 2000 national championship season, me and a group of friends would gather to watch each game. And if something started going wrong, we got to switch seats. This isn't working. And we found a perfect sit. Okay, Josh, you're sitting on my right. Matt, you're over here on my left. This is how we set against Kansas State, okay? That's what we did. We were weird, but it worked.
That reminds me. I guess it would have been 2015. Yeah, I guess it was 2015, that season. So, the same group of guys, and women, men and women, they would call, all would gather to watch games. And my dad, he would never really watch the Bedlam game with anybody because he just had this deep-rooted hatred. No, I'm just going to call it that because that's what it was, of Oklahoma State for some reason. And he always blames it on growing up where he grew up and there was people there that give him a heart. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he always said. Anyhow, and so he went down to Dallas with Jay Kirby,
okay,
to watch the game. And, of course, OU loses.
And OU Texas,
2015.
Okay. Yeah.
OU loses. And immediately he gets labeled the Black Cloud.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me about this.
And so then the next week, everyone's at Joe's. No dad. I'm like, he's across the alley. What's he doing? And OU wins. So then the next week, I think it was Texas Tech game, if I remember right. And so everybody's at Joe's. And it starts out, it's like, boom, 21-0 Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Well, here he comes walking across the alley thinking the coast is clear. sets down, and Tech threw like a long pass for a touchdown. Baker threw an interception that led to, and then there he went walking back home.
The crazy game.
And from then on, I don't think he watched another. Actually, I think that was the year it was Clemson in the playoffs, and they were going to one of the casinos in Tulsa for New Year's Eve, because that game was on New Year's Eve.
Right.
And, you know, Oklahoma's ahead at halftime, and they get to the place they're going, sit down and watch, and then bam, there it was. And like, you know what, you guys? You didn't really even want OU to win anyway, did you? So, anyhow.
No, I'll be fine if they lose. Don't worry about it. I'm good.
Okay.
Will you be okay?
No, I'm just. Anyhow, all right. Speaking of college football, ESPN's 3-year future rankings came out. And they've been doing this all week long, starting – by the way, shout out to Uncle Tom. My Uncle Tom Gilliland heading up to Woodward for the day. I'm sure that means Boiling Springs golf with his old buddies.
Appropriately named today.
Uncle Tom, drink water.
Yeah.
Drink plenty of water while you're out there. You know, I bet that's a pretty hot spot today.
Yeah, it's a place that doesn't gather a lot of wind.
Well,
you're really
they've kind of cleaned out some of the stuff underneath the trees that allows for some more air movement.
Good.
The place was nice last time I was there. Very nice.
I really like that course. I know I've said that a lot, but I'm jealous of your uncle.
Yeah, he needs to be sure and drink water. Be hydrated. The 3-year team rankings. Start there, or... I don't know. There was quarterbacks, offense, defense, and then compiled those three to rank the teams. We can run. I mean, quarterbacks, Oklahoma's number one, Clemson two, USC three, and then two teams that 10 years ago you would never see on this list, Alabama and Ohio State. It's amazing the difference with the way that the offensive revolution has even hit those places.
Oh, you mean offensive alone?
Yeah, quarterbacks.
Okay, yeah.
I'm talking about quarterbacks. Quarterbacks specifically.
Okay,
10 years ago, you'd never see these two up there. They kind of had the game manager guys that just made enough plays to not lose. Built defensively first.
Right.
And then kind of supplemented it the other way. That's not the case anymore, obviously, with the offense they're throwing out there, especially Alabama. So then you rank the offenses, Oklahoma, Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia. And then here's where the difference comes. Defensively, Clemson 1, Georgia 2, Bama 3, A&M 4, and Ohio State 5. So Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson are the only three teams that are in each of these rankings, which then no surprise, team-wise, it goes Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma 4, Georgia 5, A&M 6, Oregon 7, Florida 8, Notre Dame 9, LSU 10. Outside of the top 10, the next Big 12 team you'll find is Iowa State at 15, which seems kind of silly to me, but whatever.
Too high?
I think so. For the next three.
3 years, yeah.
Texas 18, OSU 22. If there's a team in that top 10 is there one that you think that might be a little bit too low? Or is there a team in there that you think, that seems like it's too high?
We keep hearing everybody ring the bell for Texas A&M, right? And at number 6, ahead of teams like Florida, Notre Dame, LSU, that to me seems a little high.
It's pretty interesting that A&M, so when you look at last year, when they did these rankings a year ago now, A&M was 15. Now, they had a fantastic year last year. There's no doubt about that. The lone loss was to Alabama. But the difference in that team last year versus this team this year, as much as I didn't think he was very good, but they did have a 4-year starter to return at quarterback versus this year, somebody new.
Well, but the thing is, it's a Jimbo guy.
It is a Jimbo guy, and the recruiting has clearly taken an uptick.
It has.
Since he's gotten there. And as much as these are kind of recruiting rankings, they're also not necessarily that way either, because it's not just such a cut and paste deal where it just take the recruiting rankings and fire them on this. It's not the way this is done. It's a little bit better than that. You know, Haynes King is supposed to be the quarterback this year. I know The Wegman kid that's a 2022, they got a commitment from him. He's still in high school. So that definitely buoys some of these rankings. But, I mean, I think they're the easy, kind of the low-hanging fruit for me when I look at this list and go, who doesn't belong? They're the ones.
Well,
because they haven't been near this.
They've always been the college football, speed bag, right? I mean, they've always been there at that digga-digga-digga-digga-digga. Everyone just takes knocks at them. Right, they've always
rightfully
been
so.
Rightfully so, because they've always been boasted up there, and that nothing comes from it. But I think now, because of the recruiting rankings have been high, Jimbo's a successful coach, and they're in the SEC, and coupled with everything I just said in last year's season, there's a lot of expectation for him, not just this year, but the next couple of years. So this year is going to be is huge for Jimbo, isn't it? It'd have to be absolutely huge for him. If they go 7-5, they're like, well, they're just A&M again.
I do think he's got the luxury of a new quarterback as kind of a built-in reason
to not.
But the problem is, man,
last year's level,
dude, their schedule, it's been brutal over the last couple of years. I mean, you've had Clemson, Georgia, Bama on it. This year, that ain't the case. 1, 2, 3, 4. I thought that Colorado game was – that's at the Broncos Stadium, isn't it? So I thought that was a road game.
I think it is.
Yeah, in Denver.
Technically still a road game.
Right? Yeah. They don't have it as a road game, but it's not in College Station. But they don't hit the road until October 16th.
That's crazy.
And so –
that's crazy. And they're –
their non-conference is Prairie View A&M, New Mexico, Kent State, and then the neutral site game against Colorado. Their the East teams they play this year, Missouri, South Carolina. It don't get much easier than that.
No.
And so as much as
– and you're hosting
– you got Bama at
you
home.
You got Bama at home. You got an
– Auburn at home.
An upstart Arkansas at home.
Auburn at home.
Hardest game
probably
outside of Alabama?
Probably at?
Clearly LSU.
Oh, I don't think. I don't know who. They're going to be on my list here in a second.
Oh.
At Ole Miss, I think, is a tough one, too.
Yeah, I can see that one being tough.
But.
Feels like a CBS primetime game to me.
Yeah, it's for sure that 2:30 one, depending on what else is that day. Anyway, this is – that. I think schedule is a big part of why Texas A&M is as high as they are. And that's not something we can normally say about an SEC team. But for an SEC schedule, especially from the West side, somebody in the Western Division, this is as charm and soft as it could possibly. I mean, only thing that could be better is you're going to Vandy instead of Missouri.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing that could be better. Because South Carolina with a new coach breaking in, Shane Beamer, we don't know what to expect there. You've got that game at home anyway. Whew. So, you know, as much as A&M's history is overratedness, you know, number six, at least for this next year, and then you'd think the quarterback stuff would get solidified a little bit better after this year, they may not be as overrated as it kind of popped in my mind at first. LSU, on the other hand, come on.
Way too high?
I think so. They've gone – they've 1, 2, 3, 4. They've dropped from 5th to 10th after just 1 year. Hmm. And didn't that – what I'm saying is Joe Burrow was the anomaly, not the standard, at quarterback for LSU. That's always been the scary thing about them, and we saw the potential when they had one of those guys in 2019, and it was nuts, and you can't beat them when they can play offense the way everybody else does. The problem is the bloom is off the rose, and now Ed Orgeron is back to being Ed Orgeron, which is a guy you can't understand and not a very good coach.
A likable guy you can't understand, but
they're always going to be near these top near the top 10 in these rankings because of the recruiting that they're able to do. But the problem for them is when you really look at it, it's going to be that quarterback spot. They're the only team on these rankings that when you look at like returning starters, they've got three because they didn't have one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're going to be high defensively, as always, but when you look down the quarterbacks, they're number 15. in future quarterback rankings.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to end up being a little high.
You think so?
Yep. And as much as when you look at OU's problem, being number 19 on the defensive side, but they're one in offense, one in quarterback.
Yeah.
And the way the game is played right now, it's easier to make up for deficiencies on the defensive side by scoring a bunch of points than it is playing good enough defense to keep these phenomenal offenses off the scoreboard. You have to be able to have some capability of keeping up. And I'm not convinced LSU can do it until I see it past Joe Burrow.
Right, I agree. And it makes you wonder how long they'll hold on to Coach O.
Now, let me ask you this. The other Big 12 teams, you've got, I said, Iowa State 15, Texas 18, OSU 22. Of those three, or maybe somebody else, you know, last year when you looked at the rankings, Baylor was 16.
Hmm.
Obviously coming off that great season that saw them, you know, lose two heartbreakers to OU to keep them out of the playoff. That giant comeback in Waco and then an overtime game in the Big 12 title game. But now they're nowhere to be found. Of those three, other three, which one do you think we'll see make a jump when we're talking about this next year?
I think it will be Texas.
Totally agree.
Because I think you're going to see a lot of – I think Texas – you know, they talk about their defense potentially being really good this year. Even though I know they're not the future defense ranked, they're not even ranked.
Hmm.
But I keep hearing that. But there's, you know, then I think with Casey Thompson and the running back, help me out.
Bijan Robinson.
Yeah. I think they will, I'm hope I'm wrong. But I think they'll have a nice debut season with Sark. And it's Texas because everyone loves Texas and they want Texas to be good. And it's like, okay, there's a reason that there's a reason for us to jump them up a little bit. So I think Texas has potential to go up. And I feel like the second question is who could drop.
I think it's Iowa State,
Iowa
right?
Iowa State, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Iowa State can do without Purdy. Breece Hall will be there two more. Well, maybe just one more. Wasn't he a redshirt freshman? So maybe this is his last year. What happens, you know, beyond those guys? I think that's the easy answer. For Oklahoma State, you know, they went from 21 last year, 22 this year. Texas fell from 11 to 18. Iowa State was nowhere to be found, and now they're 15th. But Iowa State's going to have to do it again, for me, with another group of guys. And we talk about programs and coaches. Can they do it with multiple coaches? I want to see if Iowa State can do it with multiple quarterbacks, multiple offensive skill guys outside of just Breece Hall and Brock Purdy, as far as being a top 20 type team. And then, you know, OSU, I think they're set up like they always are. It's going to come down to how good can their defense be in order to get into the Big 12 title chase. Offensively, they're always going to be, you know, their floor is top two or three offenses in the league, depending on what year. Sometimes it's the best. How good can their defense be in order to buoy them up there and have those chances to win Big 12 titles?
It just seems like the same formula for them.
It really does. I mean, it's pretty – it's a different level of expectation, but it's pretty amazing how similar OU and OSU have been over the last decade. How good can you play defense in order to supplement those explosive, awesome offenses? One is talking about winning a national title. One's talking about being the Big 12 champ.
Right.
But very, very similar. And both seem to kind of be on the right path. All right, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. Did two, you – yeah. Oh, you did 13-2. Were you kidding with that score?
Yeah, come on.
What do you think the score is really going to be?
I think I – looking at my crystal ball – I think 7-3. Tight early, and then OU pulls away.
So you think Oklahoma wins 7-3?
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
It is. Oh, yeah.
See any Chris Paul last night?
Apparently the Fountain of Youth is in Phoenix.
Man alive. 17-15. Phoenix just blew Denver out. Especially in the second half. Kind of, I mean, man.
Good for him.
He's one of those guys that's become immensely more likable as he's gotten older.
Unlike someone else.
You mean the most hated player in the NBA, LeBron James? Ah, Dakota, 13-2 Sooners. Everybody's got that score.
13-2.
Everybody's going there. You know, I tell you what, if there is a program
that could make it 13-2.
that Oklahoma has dominated, at least football for sure, it's been Florida State.
Yeah.
Some of those Orange Bowls back in the early 80s. With late 70s, early 80s, with JC, Billy.
Oh, yeah.
To that 2000 game. To the doubleheader, the back-to-back years, what was that, 10 and 11?
Yep.
Gave one of the greatest, that game in Tallahassee, gave us one of the greatest Bob Stoops memes of all time.
With the field goal.
Yes, the Jimmy Stevens.
The dead duck field goal.
Yes, that Stoops looked like he had swallowed the worst food. For me, like ate black licorice without knowing it or something like that.
Yeah.
Kenny Steele's catch.
That was great. That's a great game. That was a nerve-wracking game. Yeah. That was fun.
Well, when you weren't trusting that your kicker could make an extra point, get it over the line, makes it hard to win a game like that on the road. Now, it will be fun, I think. I think it'll be a blast. Hopefully, you know, for people around here, it'd be a lot of fun to see just a blowout and kind of celebrate for seven innings. But for the game, I hope it's close. Get people to, you know, tune in as they're getting home on the East Coast or what have you.
I hope
to see one down to the wire.
I hope it's done before 5.
What are you going to do if it's not?
Call my wife, tell her you got to go get the kids. I'm not leaving here until it's done.
All right. Everybody drink water.
Yes,
get hydrated.
Take care of yourself.
Stay safe. It's going to be a hot one out there. Highs over 100. Heat indexes in the 110s.
Heat advisories aren't a joke.
Yeah, it popped up on my little screen. Advisory.
Yep.
Heat advisory. So be safe. We'll be here tomorrow. Cuss and discuss the game and look forward to the weekend. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.